All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. The text will be found in verse 24. The Scripture says, "And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." And the title of my message tonight is Walking with God. What is it to walk with God? This man Enoch walked with God. Here in this passage, we have the history of this man contained in such a short amount of space. The whole history of this man, he was born and he lived 300 years. He begat sons and daughters, but this is the testimony. At 365 years, he walked with God and God took him. He was not. This man was the seventh from Adam and the only other man in Scripture that was translated and did not taste physical death. This man was blessed of God to be taken out of this life without dying. What a blessing! What a blessing. Death is a fearful thing that every one of God's people, most of God's people, will face. Death. Most of them have gone on before us have tasted of death. But this man didn't. And we know that when the Lord returns, the Scriptures are clear. Those that have died in the Lord, those who have gone before us into glory, their bodies lay in the ground. Their spirit have immediately ascended into the presence of God. But when Christ comes, we know this, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But then there are going to be some believers still here when Christ comes. They're going to be alive at His return. And the Scriptures are clear also concerning them that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The end. That's it. That's it. That's the conclusion of all history and time when that day comes. So some believers will experience what Enoch experienced. If the Lord returns tonight, we would experience what Enoch experienced, wouldn't we? That's why John said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And so this blessed and dear believer in Jesus Christ, he was saved. I want you to know this. We are saved body, soul, and spirit. When Christ saved us, He saved all of us. He saved the whole thing. Therefore, when this body dies, we have this hope that it shall be raised again. It shall be raised like our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if we are alive, we won't even see death, but immediately will be transformed into His very image, into the likeness of our Savior. An incorruptible body. Can you imagine that incorruptible body? A body without any suffering, any discontentment. You discontented about something? In this body there will be no discontentment. You will have no gee, I wish this were that or this were that. No, it's all perfect. This is what Enoch experienced. He walked with God 365 years and God immediately translated him. In Jude, I also want you to know something else about this man, Enoch. He was a preacher. He was a preacher of the gospel. Now, hold your place here. You can hold it here. But go to Jude real quickly. Jude, there's only one chapter. But Jude, look at verse 14. This man, Enoch, that was translated that he should not see death, he also was a preacher. And the apostle here says, "And Enoch," verse 14, "also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This man preached the gospel. In that very first part, he said he prophesied. What did he prophesy? The Lord cometh. He preached of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel message. Well, you know that he was the seventh from Adam. He was pretty close to the beginning. But I'll tell you, this gospel was preached long before him. Wasn't it preached to our parents by God himself? It said, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise his heel. He was preaching Christ to them at the beginning. And this message was passed down and became clearer as the generations passed. He preached of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked forward to Him delivering His people from their sins. His coming. And notice He preached that He should have a people. He shall come with who? His saints. He's preaching that there are sanctified ones. That God has a people. That all those that are set apart to Christ, these are saints. You listen to me. You're a believer in Christ. You are a saint. You hear people say, well, I'm no saint. Well, if you don't believe in Christ, no, you're not. But if you believe in Christ, you are a saint. What does saint mean? It means sanctified ones, ones set apart. Holy ones, that's what it means. Holy saints. So you believe in Christ, you are sanctified and set apart, you are made holy unto your God by Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. He preached of saints, holy ones. This is always done by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the means of belief of the truth. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, listen, chosen you to salvation, what? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So listen, you were sanctified when God chose you. You were set apart, and in the purpose of God, you were to be holy. According as He had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy, sanctified. And you know you were sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus. God put you in Christ Jesus when He sanctified you in election. He put you in Christ Jesus and made Christ Jesus to be what? Wisdom, righteousness, and what? Sanctification and redemption. He is your sanctification. And then the Spirit sanctified you. He set you apart and made you holy by the new creation, the new heart that He put within you and giving you life and faith. This is the gospel message. And this gospel message is essential. It must be preached. This is the means by which you were set apart of the Holy Spirit. Through belief of the truth. Now, how are you going to believe the truth if you hadn't heard the truth? A lot of people hearing garbage. They're hearing a false gospel. No one's saved by a false gospel. No one. Why? It's not the truth. You see, Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by Him. So this message is the means God has chosen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Listen, that's true now, and that was true when Enoch was preaching. Enoch's preaching the same gospel that I'm preaching. Yes, I have a clearer vision of it. I have a clearer understanding because that gospel he looked forward to has already been accomplished now. He looked forward to it. I look back at it. We have a clearer view of it than he did, but it's still the same gospel. He preached the same gospel. This is the means God has chosen. Paul tells us that whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's clear, isn't it? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. But how shall you call on him in whom you've not heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That was true in Enoch's time. That's why he prophesied. That's why he preached. That the Lord cometh with his saints. And so what do we preach? We preach the Lord has come, but we also preach the same thing. The Lord is coming, isn't he? And he will judge men. He will judge and condemn all those outside of Christ. I tell you this, I don't pray for more preachers. I pray for more preachers God has sent. I pray for more preachers who preach the gospel. I don't pray for more just preachers. There's a whole bunch of preachers out there that aren't worth anything. I pray that God would send his men to preach his gospel and spread that gospel, because God will save his people through this means as he did in Enoch's day. But tonight I really wanted to talk about not his preaching, but rather this phrase, Enoch walked with God. What, friends, does it mean to walk with God? You hear that a lot. Are you walking with Jesus? This is religious talk. Are you walking with Jesus? What they mean is, do you feel this, or are you doing right? Are you obeying the law? Are you doing the church ordinances? Are you sanctifying yourself? That's what they're talking about, walking with Jesus. How's your walk with Jesus? What is it then to walk with? That's not walking with Jesus. I'll tell you that right now. That's not walking with Jesus. What does it mean to walk with Jesus? That's what I want us to talk about tonight. Because I'll tell you this. Do you walk with God? That's an important question. And Enoch walked with God. So then, we might understand this. Believers, it is possible to walk with God. And I want you to notice at the front. You who do believe, you are walking with God. That's going to be the whole thing this evening, is what is it to walk with God? And you believe, I want you to know this before I even start. You are walking with God. First of all, I want you to see this, that no man can walk with God apart from believing on Christ. No man can walk with God apart from believing. That we see that Enoch believed in the Messiah. This is so with all Old Testament saints who look forward to his coming. We look back at his coming and look forward to his coming. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. We both believe. Enoch believed in Christ. I believe in Christ. Enoch walked with God, and even so now do I by faith walk with God. And you can't walk with God without faith in Christ. Amos 3:3 asks this question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Is that possible? Can you have fellowship with someone unless you're in agreement with them? No, you can't. No man will walk with God unless there is peace between God and man. When God created man, there was peace. When God made Adam, he made him perfect. Adam and God were able to walk together. They were in agreement. Adam agreed God is God. Adam agreed that he was the creature and God was worthy of worship. God was worthy of his obedience. And as long as Adam kept that, there was fellowship. As long as Adam obeyed God and worshiped God, there was no cause for separation. But you remember, when Adam disobeyed God, God and man could no longer fellowship together. There was separation because of the sin and disobedience of man. Flip over just from where you're at in your text there in Genesis. Flip over a couple pages to Genesis 3. And you remember, after they sin in verse 7, it says both of their eyes were opened. Genesis 3 and verse 7. It says their eyes were both opened and they knew that they were naked. And what'd they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. then. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, notice this, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It is as though that was his custom. It is as though that were their custom, to walk together in the cool of the day. And God came to Adam and Eve walking in the garden as though to fellowship with them, to walk with them. But what did they do? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God came to walk with his creature, but Adam ran because there was no fellowship anymore in the heart of man. And you remember what they did is they sowed fig. They tried to cover themselves. This is what we do by nature. Man by nature, since we are separated from God, we seek to cover our guilt, our shame, by fig leaves of works and self-righteousness. But I'll tell you this, when a lost man hears the voice of God, hears the word of God, he knows this, that his fig leaves are not sufficient. He cannot walk with God. He hides himself. He hides himself. He flees from God. That's man's nature. I know this when I, especially when I was in the church and I'd go to witness just to my friends or anything else. You know, you ever seen a cockroach when you cut on the light? They just try to run for the darkness. That's how people are when you try to preach a gospel to them. They just want to run. They want to hide. Why? There's no fellowship. They can't walk with God. They don't have any desire to walk with God. Therefore, all who are lost in sin cannot walk with God as our Father did, but they run from God. And they run from God. Why? Because there's no agreement. There's no peace. God demands obedience and righteousness. God is just and holy and cannot overlook sin. God tells us that man is utter disobedience. That's what God says about you. God says that about me, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We cannot have fellowship with God because of our sin. God calls it as it is. That's what God says. Now, what does man say? Man says, I'm sufficient. Man says, I'm supreme. I'm the ruler. And he demands God bow to his will. And I'll tell you this, so unless God acts upon the heart of man, they will never walk together. You got that? You will never walk with God except God come to you and do something for your heart. Unless God give you a new heart, you will always be in opposition to God, and you will never be able to walk with God. But I'm so thankful for this. There is hope. There is hope for those who do not walk with God, because God is rich in mercy, has sent His Son to reconcile. Now, you know what that is? That's to reconcile two opposing parties and to be able to bring them together so that they can walk together. Ephesians 2 said this, but now Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off. That's where we were. We were afar off from walking with God. We were so far from walking with God. And listen, you try to walk with God in your works, you are far off from God. You're not walking with God. But listen, you that were far off were made near by the blood of Christ. God did something. God did something to reconcile this walk. He sent His Son to reconcile, for He is our peace. Isn't that what we need? We need peace with God, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity. The enmity. That's what separated us, isn't it? Enmity. The enmity of what? The law. The law was against us. The law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make of himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he might, here's the word, reconcile both unto God in one body. By the cross, having slain the enmity, having put away the enmity, having satisfied the law. The law required being something be slain, required a death. And Christ by the cross was the death. He satisfied the law, slain that enmity. For those who are far off, I have a message of peace. But you must come on God's terms. God will not and cannot come to you or walk with you based on your terms. If you go to God on your terms, you will never walk with God and hell will be your portion. That is just plain. Anybody misunderstand that? I pray God will reveal this, that he's the offended party. You know that? Man walks around thinking he's the offended party. You realize that God is the offended party, and yet God has made reconciliation. Just as our parents pictured, you remember when Adam and Eve, notice it was God coming to them. Now listen, if God waited for you to reconcile, there would be no reconciliation. As God came to our parents, that's how he comes to every one of his people. He comes to them in their sin. In their sin. He comes looking for them. This is always the way men are reconciled. He finds us dead in our sins and gives us life so that we may walk with him. So that we may have hope. And I pray that God would even come now and quicken the dead. If there's any dead, this is my heart's desire, is that God would quicken the dead. Just as he quickened me as I was dead. I pray that he will. We pray for our lost and those in our family. That God has provided a sacrifice to cover their nakedness so that they can. That's what he did to Adam and Eve, isn't it? The scripture says in Genesis 3:21, he said, unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, what separated them was their nakedness, wasn't it? And what did God do? He came and told them of Christ and gave them that picture of slaying the innocent animal and covering their nakedness. So Christ also, to reconcile, came into the world and died in the sinner's stead, so as to cover our nakedness before God. He provided his righteousness that was necessary to walk with God. You can't walk with God unless you're holy as God. And what Christ provided was righteousness, holiness. And he also, he did this by his death, by his blood. This is God's terms of reconciliation. He sent his Son to be the sacrifice for sins and to be the righteousness of God for all that believe in him. So to walk with God, to be reconciled to God, is to walk in agreement with him. And what does he say? What is God's terms? Here it is. Believe on my Son. That's it. That's it. Trust in Christ. That's what it is to walk with God. You cannot walk with God based on your religious works. That's not how you walk with God. You cannot appeal to God based on your religious service and obedience to the law. You must come as a lost, hell-deserving sinner and repent. You must repent. What is repentance? It's to turn. That's simple, isn't it? To stop trusting in yourself. to abandon your hope of salvation by your works. That's repentance. It's to take God's side against myself. To take my place as a sinner before His feet, pleading for mercy. And you find mercy in Christ to believe on His Son. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to these words. No man cometh unto God, but no man walks with God but by me. You're not going to walk with God except you believe in His Son. If a man comes to God by the only way God has prescribed, you know what he'll find? He'll find fellowship. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Look over 1 John chapter 1. John here talks about walking with God, fellowship with God. He says this in verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we're walking with Him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What is this darkness that he's talking about? This darkness is walking by works and religion. You say, I walk with God. I go to church. I'm walking with God. I eat the Lord's Supper. I'm walking with God. I do good works in the community. I'm walking with God. No, you're walking in darkness. And you do not the truth. What's the truth? Here it is in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another, with God and with each other. We walk in the light of His Word. What is His Word? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith. Faith in Christ is what it is to walk in the light. It is to believe that our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption is all found in Christ. That's what it is to walk in the light. Did not Jesus say that? I am the light of the world. To walk in the light is to walk in Christ. It is to believe in Christ. To believe in that of that God hath made Him to be our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Do you walk with God? Do you walk with God? Are you in agreement with God concerning your own depravity? Are you in agreement with God? Are you convinced that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing? Are you convinced that Jesus Christ has accomplished redemption? Is He all your desire and longing to stand before God when you meet Him in judgment? Paul said, look, I don't have any desire to... In Philippians, he said, I have no desire to be in my own righteousness. He said, I don't want that. No, no. My desire is to be in His righteousness. That's my desire. Listen, if that's your desire, listen, you're reconciled with God. And if you are reconciled with God, friends, I want you to know this. Listen. You are right now walking with God. And this is a wonderful thing. He's walking with you. He's walking with you. We that have believed and do believe on the only begotten are now, right now, walking with God. How do you know that? Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Paul says in verse 38, he says, now the just shall live, how? By faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If we have begun this walk with God by faith in Jesus Christ, listen, we will continue to walk with God by faith until we die. Now listen, those who say, I walk with God, but turn back. You've met people like that. I've met people like that. I've met people who were seemingly believers in Christ, and then they turn away. They go back. I want you to know if anyone turns back, it's because they never walked with God anyway. They never walked with God by faith. They never begun to walk with God. They've walked with the God of their imagination. But faith is how we begin this walk, and it's how we continue this walk, by faith. Paul says in verse 24 of that text in Hebrews 10, verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In verse 35, he said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense for reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is the will of God? It's to believe on His Son. Don't cast away your faith. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but the man that draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but unto him that believe to the saving of the soul. And so this, in the next chapter then, Paul gives us so much illustrations of faith, of true faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he begins to give us these examples, and one of those is who? Enoch. Isn't that right? He gives us this one, Enoch, in verse 5 of chapter 11. He said, don't cast away your faith. The just shall live by faith. To walk with God is to walk by faith. And then he shows us this by using the man we've been preaching from the beginning here. Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. How do you know this? Before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Now, you notice that he uses the word here, pleased, when in Genesis it says he walked with God. Why? It's the same thing. He pleased God. He walked with God. Only those who please God are able to walk with God. Now, how did he please God? By his works? By his piety? Now, he lived in a very wicked generation, and he was one of very few in his generation that believed in Christ. Is that why? No. He pleased God, verse 11, without what? Faith. It is impossible to please or walk with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. He pleased God. That's what it means when Enoch walked with God. He walked by faith. I tell you this, I believe on the only begotten Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ. With all my heart, I know he's the Christ. I know he accomplished salvation by his death. I know he obtained the righteousness of God for all his elect as he lived upon this earth. I know he was risen from the dead 3 days after he died. He is risen from the dead, and God has set him on the right hand of the majesty on high, where he ever lives to make intercession for all of his people. And he will save all of his people. And all of his people will walk by faith with him all the days of their life, and they shall be one day translated just like Enoch was. Why? Because this is their testimony. They pleased God. How? By faith. By faith. So how is it that we walk with God? We walk with God by faith. In Hebrews 12, Paul says it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. You know, you're not going to walk with God looking at your faith. God is not pleased when you look at your faith, is it? When we look at our faith, we begin to waver. We begin to move away from God. We feel separated from God when we begin to lean on anything but Christ. As what? The author of my faith. You see, I didn't generate this faith. He did. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. Why? lest any man should boast. My faith is something God made. It's His work. He's the author of my faith, and guess what? He is the finisher of my faith. So all as the just live by faith and we walk with God, who's doing this? It's His power that keeps us believing. You, if you're honest with yourself, you would have left Him a long time ago. If it left to yourself, you would have left Him. You would have ceased to believe. How often do we throw up our hands? The trials do it. Too much. Too much. Surely my faith is gone. We take our eyes off of Him. We look at the world. We lust after the world. We want the things of the world. We envy the things of the world. And we're like Asa. I know God's good to Israel, but as for me, I don't have any clue. I don't know if God's good to me or not. We lose sight of Him, and we feel as though we are not walking with Him. And that's true. If you don't believe, you're not walking with God. Do you desire to walk closer to God? Now listen, what I'm talking about is something experimental. Because every true believer, whether you feel it or not, you are walking with God. Matter of fact, I want you to know this. When I say you're walking with God, really is God carrying you. I mean, that's just it. You see, my God is carrying me. I'm walking with Him by faith, but it's all Him. It's all Him. We want to walk closer to God. Well, the only way this happens is if our faith increases. If we grow in faith, we walk closer only as we believe on Him. Let us walk then believing on God, no matter what our circumstance. Do you believe that God works all things together for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to Him? You believe that? Do we trust God to do what is good for us even when we can't see it? What if He takes everything from us? Is it still not God doing good? Remember that song, when Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail? When you and His strength shall over all prevail, look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. And lastly, let us walk with God, looking forward to our translation. To walk with God, we should be anticipating our... You know when Paul said this, we which are alive and remain. You know what he anticipated? He anticipated to be one of those. And yet, I tell you, sometimes we just say, oh, well, he's not going to... Why would we say that? We don't know. We should desire that. Why? Because one day we shall be like Him. Now, whether He comes in our day or not, does it really matter? Does it really matter if we go by the grave or we go by translation? We're all going to get to the same point. The script, John says this, beloved... Now are we the sons of God. Now, right now, you're the Son of God. And you know what? You may feel a closer walk with Him or you may not, but that doesn't have anything to do with your sonship. You are the sons of God, you who believe on Him. You are now the sons of God. Yet it doth not appear what we shall be. Now, right? Look in the mirror. Look at your conduct and tell me that's what you're going to be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Philippians 3 said, for our citizenship's in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. So, believer, let us, as we believe, as we are walking with God, be comforted by this. This world is not our home. Let us live in this body by faith of the Son of God and hold fast that this body of decay and pain, this life of sorrow and tears, will soon be translated into a perfect body without sin and without sorrow or pain. This is what Enoch looked forward to. And he received it. He received that 365 short years. He was a youngster in his day. Therefore, what should we do? Let us not be entangled with the cares of this world. That's what we should hold very loosely, the things of the world. When God gives us something, enjoy that. That's all right. When God gives you a good job, you enjoy that. When God gives you means to do, enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with that. Gives you a good life, a good wife, a good family, whatever He gives you. You can enjoy that. But you better not hold too tightly to those things. When you do, believers, what does God do? He tears them out from our hands. Believer, the cares of this life, we are rather to believe and seek the kingdom of God. Seek Christ. Seek to be found in Him. Our Lord tells us in Matthew 6, He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What a wonderful life that would be. You know, God help us to do that. What you eat or what you shall drink or your body, what you shall put on, the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He knows those things. If we live by faith, we surely would be walk closer with Him. And what does He say? Seek first, above everything else. Don't be anxious for these things. Only be concerned with this thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. And listen, His righteousness. The kingdom of God is a person. The kingdom of God is speaking His righteousness. And what? All these things should be added to you. Don't worry about these things. They'll be added to you when they're necessary, when you need them. God provides them. But seek first and all. Don't be entangled with the cares of this life. Rather be entangled with His grace, with His love, with His mercy, with His gospel. We should wrap ourselves in those things. Jesus tells us that where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. What do you treasure? What do I treasure? What do you long most for in life? Lands, money, family? These things are fleeting. They're just passing. They're like you put your hand in a bucket of sand and you try to hold on to it. It just drains through your face. It's what these things are. They're just temporary. Let us then by faith keep looking to Christ. Why? Because those who look to Christ are walking with God. Now walking with God. In this part of the covenant, He says, I shall give them a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within, my spirit within them. And they shall, listen, walk in my statutes. And my judgments, listen to Do them. What are His judgments? Are they not statutes? What is it? Faith and love. Faith and love. And I'll tell you, one breeds the other, isn't it? Doesn't faith breed love? It sure does. Faith worketh by love, doesn't it? It does. This is what it is to walk with God. It's not do this, doing that, doing this. It's seeing what Christ has done. That's walking with God. It's setting Him first above all things. It's taking our place, isn't it? I'm a sinner and nothing at all. And Jesus Christ is my all in all. Now that's a man walking with God. He's taking God's side in everything. He said, God, you're right. I'm a sinner and nothing at all. And you know what? You're right about this too. Jesus Christ, my all in all. That's what it is to walk with God. Are you walking with God? Those who are walking with God, listen, one day we shall really walk with God. I can't imagine how many millions and billions of saints there are. Yet we will all be able to walk with Him. Is that not just something? And I want you to know this. He's even walking among us now. Isn't that what He pictured? John is walking among the candlesticks. Tonight He's walking among us in this worship. He is walking among us all at the same time, as though we were the only one. He's walking with us. May God give us the grace to continue to walk with Him. How? How? Same way Enoch did. By faith. By faith. I pray God will bless this and give us the ability constantly to walk with Him. Let's be dismissed in prayer.